We're into week four of our gospel series, and I hope you're getting something out of this as we unpack this life-changing topic. We want everyone to come into a deeper understanding of the gospel, this good news that God is our creator, that despite the fact that we've fallen through sin and rebellion, that he reaches out through Christ to redeem us, to save us, and to restore us back to the family of God. If you know this already, we want you to know it more deeply so that you can live more powerfully. We want you to know it so that you can live with a greater sense of security of who you are in Christ. We want you to know it so that you can live more courageously, more faithfully, more obediently, and more effectively to advance the kingdom of God. And friends, this knowledge of the gospel is by far the greatest information that we will ever hear. And our response to it, the most important that we'll ever make. And so if you've already responded to God's offer of new life, you are blessed. And we need to know that. Last week when I was listening to Bruce preach about our salvation, past, present, and future, I realized, I had this sort of just sense in my spirit last week that it felt like I'd won the lotto. And I can't win the lotto because I don't buy tickets, but I just had this feeling, and it doesn't sound super spiritual, but it just like I'd won the lotto, is that I've had the opportunity to hear this story. I've had the opportunity to respond to it. And so it's like I've won the spiritual lotto. I've put myself in a place where I'm now living as a son of God. And there's nothing about me, there's nothing special about me, but the message is so amazing, so life-changing, so transformational, and I never want to lose sight of that. I never want to lose the joy and the pleasure of it. I never want to lose the impact that the gospel has had on my life over 30 years ago. And so I just was so excited to think that through, and that idea has just been going with me this week. To have had the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel is such an amazing gift, and it's a gift that just keeps on giving. And folks, it's something that if we haven't come to that realization yet, we just need to understand that. Either we haven't come into that relationship at all, and we need to make that commitment to Jesus, or there's a cloudy thinking in our hearts that's stopping us seeing who God is and what he's said about us and the life that he's drawn us into. And I want to touch on some of that this morning. And if you're here and you haven't come into that relationship with God, I want to challenge you to do that today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. There's no point waiting. It's too good and too precious to wait for. But my prayer for you today is that you wouldn't be convinced by anything I say, but that God himself would speak into your minds and bring spiritual revelation to you. That you would know that you would know that you would know that the gospel is true, that God is reaching out from heaven and wants you in his family. You know, many years ago, I sat in the Wellington Town Hall with my brother-in-law, Hamish. And Hamish has been to this church several times, and the speaker that day was Ravi Zacharias. And my brother-in-law, Hamish, he's a reasonably good thinker, but everything Ravi said, I thought, wow, this is just going over my head. I've been a Christian for a few years. How's Hamish going to respond? And Hamish said to me after Ravi had spoke, it was like he was speaking to him personally. It's like Ravi knew everything going on in his life. What's that? That's the revelation of God. That's the Holy Spirit using a person, speaking life and truth into my brother-in-law's life. So that night, he gave his life to Christ. I had the privilege of leading both of my brother-in-laws to Christ. What an amazing thing to look back on their lives and see what they've done for the kingdom of God. So today, I hope that it's God that speaks into our hearts. In Galatians 1, it says these words, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ." And I pray that that would be true for you today. And so we need to be open to that. We need to be open to the fact that God can speak, wants to speak, and will speak. The Bible says if we seek him, we'll find him. Another friend of mine took that verse at face value and sought God and found him. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to press into God and trust that he's here today and that he wants to speak to us. So this morning, I want to focus on this gospel of new life. I want to talk about this idea of new life and what that means for us. The church has the words real people, real life written on our doors. And that's the culture that we've been developing in this church over 15 plus years. A culture that seeks to value honesty and transparency about the joys and the struggles of life, about who we really are and what's really going on. And alongside of that, it proclaims that there is real life available in Christ. Life which is for now and for eternity. Life which is rich and full and meaningful and satisfying. Life that's available for all of us. This real life, this new life, doesn't come by believing in a religious philosophy or by attending a particular church. It comes through spiritual rebirth. It's a God thing. Your parents can't do it for you, but they can lead you there. Your friends can't do it for you, but they can point the way to the one who can. Your wife or your husband can't make this decision on your behalf, but they can model this new life for you. And it's a mystery, and it's also a reality that many of us here have experienced. And it's an experience that changes everything. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to John chapter 3. And some of you who've been around a little while know what we're going to talk about briefly this morning. I'm sorry those slides aren't clearer, but that's okay, we'll get there. In John chapter 3, Jesus has an encounter with a man called Nicodemus. We're told in the Bible that he is a Jewish religious leader, a Pharisee, so he's a senior leader. After he appears with Jesus, comes and finds him at night, so he seeks him out at a time where maybe he wants to have more of a private conversation, doesn't necessarily want others to know what's going on in that conversation. And Jesus says in verse 3, and it's on the screen here, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus has been asking him about who he is and the miracles that he's performing. He knows that Jesus is more than just a man, that there's some kind of divine power that he's ministering in. And he says, what's going on with all of this? How do I understand this? And Jesus says, unless you are born again, you won't understand it. You can't enter into it. Something's got to happen at a spiritual level in your life. And he asks, what does that mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replies in these words on the screen, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." And later on, he's confused by this idea. He says in verse 9, "How can this be possible?" You can imagine the struggle that he's having to reconcile what this means. This is a man who's grown up in a religious system where he's been taught all the things he's supposed to know about God and how to approach God. And all of that has just been blown out of the water by Jesus. Jesus says, it's got nothing to do with what you've learned prior to all of this. It's got nothing to do with the training and the rituals and the regulations that you've been taught to live by. The only way that you're going to come into a relationship with your Creator is if there is a spiritual rebirth that's involved. New life is what's required to know the God of the universe. How can that be possible? He's confused. He's a grown man, a religious leader. It must seem crazy to be considering these ideas. But while Jesus says that there is a mystery that surrounds this new birth, he also explains how it's possible in verse 13. "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." And that's the center of the gospel message. This new life comes to us through believing in Jesus. You remember last week, Bruce explained from Scripture that we are dead in our sins. Talks about that in a couple of places before Christ offers, gives us this new life. When Jesus talks about this bronze snake being lifted up in the desert, he's referring back to a moment in Israel's history when they were constantly complaining about God. they were in the wilderness and there was stuff going on they weren't happy with. They weren't happy with the food and all sorts of things, and they were complaining. And snakes were seen amongst them as a form of judgment. The snakes would bite the people and they would die. And so as the people repented and realized what they'd done, they cried out to Moses and to God. And God said to Moses, erect a snake, a bronze snake, on a staff, on a pole. And as the people, if they're bitten, if they look to that snake, they'll be healed. The venom won't have any effect on their lives. And so that's what he's explaining what's going on in all of this. Jesus declares that he is the one we look to for life when we're dead and dying. Jesus is the one who's lifted up. When the venom of sin is killing us, and it does, Jesus offers new life, resurrection life, a second chance with God. You know, I know we're in the middle of an election and there's a lot of promises out there, but none of them are like this. None of them are offering new life. None of them are offering eternal life. So as important as the election is, this is even more so. This is the most important news that we need to wrestle with. God is offering new life, and that new life changes everything because it brings us into a new spiritual family with a new spiritual father, with new spiritual values, new spiritual power, and new spiritual responsibilities. In John chapter 1, we read in verse 10, Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Friends, we are blessed beyond all measure. The gospel isn't just good news, it's great news. And just like Bruce taught us last week, it's a salvation that is worked out in our everyday lives. It's not just new life, it's new lifestyle. It's living in a new kingdom under a new king. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14, I'm just reading, it's on the screen. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised with them. That's what the gospel offers us, new life that isn't just about us, but it's about how we live for God. And as we live for God, we learn to love him more, we learn to love others, and we live in a selfless way. Verse 16, it goes on to say, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Some of your Bibles will say a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Can you say amen to that, church? Is there a new life that's flowing through your spirit right now? Because that's what the Christian experience is about. It's about new life. It's about a new force coming through us. The Holy Spirit, the greatest power the world knows, is flowing through us. The Bible says the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. And so this new life is powerful. It's dynamic. It puts a smile on our faces. It brings joy to our heart. It helps us tap into the whole concept the Bible talks about. Enter his gates, his courts with thanksgiving. The joy of our salvation. And if you're missing that, you're missing something of new life. And your witness is somewhat tarnished by that. I've got to tell you, the greatest advertisement for Christianity is new life believers with joy. You know, if you're going around moaning and complaining all the time, you're like the Israelites in the desert. That's not an effective witness. You know, we need to find joy in our life because of what God has done for us. And sometimes we, you know, I sat and listened to Bruce last week, and heart on hand, I'd heard everything Bruce had said before, right? Just like you've heard everything I've said before this morning. But God used Bruce to speak new revelation into my life, to understand this in a new way. And so that's what we've got to keep coming back to, church, that this is just such a blessing to us. We are blessed beyond all reason, all pleasure. It's just incredible to consider this. And sometimes we've got to just get out of the cynicism that often goes with our lives and sometimes our age. Sometimes the older we get, the more stale we get, you know? And we need a fresh kick in the spiritual pants. And we need to get real with this and recognize that God has given us new life. And we need to experience that life. And we need to live that life. And that is glorifying to God. And that's winsome to people who are around us. One of the ways this new life in Christ is symbolized, is celebrated too, is through baptism. And if you haven't yet been baptized, I want to encourage you to sort that out before the end of this year. Wouldn't it be great for 2020 to be known for something other than COVID-19, right? In Romans 6, Paul talks about baptism symbolizing our death to the old way of living, death to the power of sin over us, alive to the life God has put within us by the Holy Spirit. And folks, I think this is one of the reasons sometimes why we lack joy, because we haven't put to death some of that stuff that drags us down. We're still going over the same things over and over again. We're not winning that battle that is available for us to have victory in. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, "Well, then," it says, "should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." There's a death to the old, alive to the new. And folks, I find in my own life that when I continue to go back into that old life, that's when my Christian life, my spiritual life falls to pieces. That's when it becomes powerless and insignificant and meaningless. But when I embrace the new life and I put to death the old life, then there's victory, then there's joy, then there's power, then there's meaning, then there's effectiveness. So folks, that's what we've got to keep pressing into, recognizing that the things of the old life, they're powerful. They're wanting to pull us in, the old ways of relating, the language, the behavior, the activities, the thought life, the habits, the addictions, they're lurking at the door. And we've got to take victory over those. And we've got to say, we are dead. We are considering ourselves dead to an old lifestyle. You know, if your Christian experience is just simply that it's like being like walking through a door and nothing's changed, you are not born again. That's not a born again experience. You've had a religious experience, but you're not born again by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes into our life, things change. Radical change begins to happen. You see the world differently. For me in creation, it's like the sunglasses are off. I can see the colors of everything. Things look different. People begin to look different. You know, in the old way, everybody's annoying. With respect, you're annoying, okay? People are blimmin' annoying sometimes, aren't they? Most people I know are annoying, except, you know, some of you. But in Christ, even some of you are beautiful. No, you know what I mean, right? But something changes in the way we view the world in Christ, because we begin to see things through the lens that he has. You know, we read that God loves the world, all the people of the world, and we think, how is that possible? But when this new life of Christ begins to permeate in us, we begin to see it and experience it. We begin to say, yeah, I can forgive this person. I can reach out to that individual. I can have empathy for that situation. I can have compassion over there. I can offer some help in that situation. Well, that's new life flooding into us, changing us. You know, the idea that we can say, I'm sorry, is new life coming into us. The idea, the realization that actually we don't know everything. That's new life, because that's wisdom. One of the greatest scriptures that's just so permeating in my life at the moment is being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That passage is just flooding into my life so often, because there's so many times, particularly with social media, that I just want to make a comment, and I'm so pleased that I haven't. And, you know, it's just what we live in, a world where everybody's wanting to react so quickly to everything. Actually, God's wisdom in that is don't. Just slow down. Just listen. Listen to the different views, the different perspectives. Don't be so fast to jump on top of everything because you think you're right and everyone else is wrong. That's not new life. That's the old way. And it's so obvious. You know, I see it in my own life, and I don't want that. I don't want that to be part of who I am. These new lives are so important. They demonstrate to us that those close to us, those we seek to draw to Christ, that God is real. You know, this whole idea that God is alive, that God is alive in us. I'm far from perfect, but I'm way better than I used to be. I still sin, but I don't sin as much as I used to. I still struggle with living the Christian life, but I enjoy more times of victory than ever before. I'm on a sanctification journey discussed last week. I'm saved, and I'm being saved, and I will be saved. The gospel is a story of new life. And that spiritual transformation, it has a beginning. It has a point, a moment in time when we first admit our brokenness, admit that God's perfect and we're not. How hard is that? You know, if you've got a problem with thinking you're perfect, just the person beside you will sort you out. Give them a couple of minutes. You know, it's not going to take long to come to a realization that you're not perfect. Okay, well, that's the beginning of the gospel. We are sinners, the Bible says. We're not perfect. God is. And he wants to reach out to us and offer perfection in Christ. It's the beginning of a journey. We admit our brokenness. We welcome his forgiveness. We say, yes, I want to be in relationship with you, God. I want to connect with you, the creator of the universe, because I want new life, because the old life ain't working. It's not getting me anywhere. And it's certainly not going to get me anywhere beyond this world. So I want new life, and that's what's available. That's what's on the table, really, this morning, is new life. And if you haven't experienced it, today's your day to enter into new life. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You have no clue. You can't predict it any more accurately than the weather. Let's face it. In Auckland, who checks the weather more than 2 days out, right? Waste of time. Wouldn't have a clue. I don't know. We can look outside. Praise God for the sunshine. I turn this way and it pours with rain. Who knows what's going on? Same with your world, right? You can't know what tomorrow holds. Why would you miss the opportunity of stepping into new life? Colossians chapter 3 says this, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. What a cool phrase that is, right? Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's awesome. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Boy, it'd be good if we could remember that as we enter those doors of our church, we see real life, to know that our real life is hidden with Christ in God. So it goes on, verse 5, and here's the challenge for us. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Folks, we would all be challenged by this list. There's stuff in here, and this isn't an exclusive list. You know, if you want an exclusive list, read other parts of Scripture. You know, it's not hard to recognize the sinful nature. This idea of, you know, we read that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's just looking to devour us. So he'll bring circumstances into our lives to seek to get us to stumble and fall. And then we get into a cycle of guilt and shame. Sometimes we hold that into ourselves and we never get out of it. We never get released of it. The purpose of saying that we're real people is that the beginning of real life is confession. The beginning of getting real is getting real with each other, getting real with God. It's why we say every Sunday there's a place to come and get real with some people up here you can trust. And just share the struggle. Share what's going on. Let those people pray for you. God's forgiving you as you seek his forgiveness. And just get on and walk with God. I read this little article on a website called Got Questions that I like to have a look at occasionally. And it just deals with this issue of what do we do around this area of the Christian who continues to sin, because that's us, right? And I just like the way that they've worded it here. What about the Christian who continues to sin? There is a difference between continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. No one reaches sinless perfection in this life, but the redeemed Christian is being sanctified, made holy day by day, sinning less and hating it more each time he fails. Yes, we still sin, but unwillingly and less frequently as we mature. Our new self hates the sin that still has a hold on us. The difference is that the new creation is no longer, hallelujah, a slave to sin as we formerly were. We are now freed from sin and it no longer has power over us. Now we are empowered by and for righteousness. We now have the choice to let sin reign or to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Best of all, now we have the power to choose the latter, to be dead to sin. Carrying on from Colossians 3, we read about a new nature that's available to all of us who have been born again. Put on your new nature, it says, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. That's a beautiful way of wording that, isn't it? Put on your new nature as you become aware of your Creator. As you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, whatever culture, whatever background, whatever education, whatever bank balance, doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Hallelujah. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. This is what God's new life produces in us. It's a new nature that's going to be produced in us. And the analogy of these scriptures is this putting off and this putting on. You know, this is a season of changing of clothes, isn't it really? Some of us are moving out of the heavier winter clothes into some warmer summer clothes. We're enjoying the feeling of that sun on our skin. We're beginning to think about maybe being in the beach at Christmas or whatever it is. We're getting things out of our wardrobe and putting new things in maybe for some of us. What are we going to do in that area? Well, this is a moment, folks. This is what this is saying. Put some stuff off, never to be put on again. It's not to be kept for a day when you think you might, that make you feel better. You put that off. We're putting on a new nature. We're putting on new stuff. And I don't believe this is a one-time thing. I think this is a lifestyle choice that we make every day. And there's moments within our days when temptation rises up and we've got to keep making choices for God. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm going to choose to put on the new nature and be the guy, be who he wants me to be. Let the message about Christ, verse 16, and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks through him to God the Father. Church, we need to take the gospel in deep. We need to allow the wisdom of God to teach us and to guide us, to worship with thankful hearts. It's easy to be thankful, you know, when we understand what God has done for us. And if you're struggling with that, maybe literally and metaphorically, you need to move a little closer to the cross. Something's got to connect that gets beyond some of the cloudy darkness that's sometimes in our lives. Worship with thankful hearts and live this new life as a witness to what Jesus has done for you. People can argue with the Bible, and they will. They can argue with the ideas of Christianity. They can argue with our philosophies, but they cannot argue with the new life that is seen and experienced in you. They cannot argue with it. Friends, we've got some refining work to be done in our lives. Some sinful ways that need to be drop-kicked out of our lives. So let's welcome the refining fire of the Holy Spirit into those places of our lives where we need it. Let's set ourselves up for our lives to demand the question, what's changed in you? What's different about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this amazing gift of life. Lord, there is no greater news, there is no greater experience than coming to you and seeking forgiveness and being forgiven and being welcomed into relationship with the Creator of the universe. Lord, there's nothing better than looking at the beauty of this world we live in and being extra blessed by living in New Zealand. And seeing all this beauty and knowing that we know the God who made it, that we're in relationship, that we worship the God who put all this stuff together for your glory and for our benefit, that we would see and enjoy these things. Father, thank you for clear blue skies in this nation that allow us to look up and see your handiwork. And Lord, we connect thousands of years with the psalmists who looked into the northern skies and saw the stars, and they too connected the dots between those little flickering rays of light and the God who put them there for his glory. Father, we just thank you for the joy that it is to know you. Lord, we pray for this church that there would be a new rise of new life in this place. And Lord, we pray, Lord, I pray for anyone in this place this morning that hasn't yet come into that relationship with you. Lord, that today would be a day where they just recognize that you are knocking at their door. You're reaching out to them. You want them to come into relationship with you. It's not about joining this church. It's not about being called this or being called that. It's about new life that's available in Jesus. Why would we say no to that? Father, I just thank you for that moment 30 plus years ago when everything changed for me. And Father, I pray that everything would keep changing every day. Lord, together, collectively as a body, we need each other's help to put off the stuff that's rubbish and put on the stuff that's beautiful. Put off the stuff that's death and put on the stuff that's life. Help us to do that together as a body. Help us to encourage each other in that. Help us to live and breathe this new spiritual life that's available for us in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.